Buenos días. Good morning, church. My name is Alana, for those who don't know me. I have the honor and privilege of serving our middle school and teens as an intern this summer. And this morning, Corey and I will prepare cards for communion. So for the past 6 years now, I've been a disciple of Christ by the grace of God. And before I was a disciple for communion, I always wondered, when people take the bread and the juice, what do they actually do? Are they pondering on their sins from the week? Are they having a mini quiet time? Are they praying? And for me, I understand things from a visual perspective usually. So I think during communion, what I do is I picture myself hugging Jesus and having communion with him in heaven. And I want you guys to picture that for a second. Just picture yourself hugging Jesus and think about how unfathomably comforting that is to just think about that. And that is Jesus' promises to us. I want to reference a scripture in Matthew 26, verse 29. It says, "Mark my words, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And that to me is very comforting as well, just to know that Jesus promises that to us, that he's going to be with us in heaven and be able to take communion with us. If you'll turn with me to Isaiah 53, I'm going to read a couple of verses. Isaiah 53, verse 2, I'll start with. And it says, and I also have the NLT version, by the way, so it's a little different. "My servant grew up in the Lord's presence, like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him." And I think sometimes God's promises can seem super ordinary, when in reality they're extraordinary, like Jesus. And he is our ultimate promise that was given to us by God. He is a seemingly ordinary servant who held within him the power to save mankind, save us all. And he transcends his spirit unto us, and we have that same spirit that he had. In verse 6, it says that the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. The Lord, in the Bible, it says before he sent us a Moses, a Noah, some servants that would seemingly possibly save us, but they ultimately didn't, and Jesus is the ultimate savior for us. And in verse 10, it says, "But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have made many descendants, he will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands." It clearly states how this is God's plan all along. This is his promise all along. And I think it's beautiful how this is foreshadowed in Isaiah and then later foretold later in the Bible. In the New Testament talks about Jesus' life and just the way that he was our ultimate savior. And this was his ultimate promise to us. And I feel that it's just incredible to see this unfolding and that his plan prospers as is ultimately given a solid purpose through Jesus and Jesus alone. And finally, I want to return to my point I was talking about earlier about the spirit that God gave us and he promised us. If you turn with me to John 17, in verses 22 and 23, "I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me." And this is Jesus' prayer for us, his disciples, his people. In his most desperate and trying moment in his whole life, he's thinking about us. I think that's super inspiring to me when I read this passage, and it's very long if you just go on to read just how encouraging and inspiring it is to us to see Jesus thinking about us in his desperate moment. And he knows exactly what God's promise has been. Even though this is a trying moment for him and it's very difficult to process, he knows his promise that has been God's plan all along. And he works his entire life to fulfill that promise and is until the very end working to give God all the glory. So I have a question for you guys. Do we have the same mindset as Jesus? Do we have the same mindset as living our lives to fulfill his promise, to know that Jesus is our ultimate savior and that we can, are we living our lives to give him all the glory? So those are my thoughts for today. Here's Corey's thoughts.
I am really glad that Alanis and I could share with you this morning about the love and faithfulness that is revealed in God's promises. That's kind of been like my theme for this year. I've spent a lot of time the past 7 months just really reflecting and praying on God's promises. And it's been something that's really encouraged and refreshed my faith in a lot of ways. Through my own Bible studies, I've just been seeing how much of his promises are revealed in the story of his people. In my own prayer life, God has revealed a lot to me in the last 7 months. I feel like he's been answering prayers that I've had for years. I feel like he's answered prayers that I prayed back in January. And to me, he has truly proved himself to be the listening and faithful God that he promised to be. In a scripture in James 1, it says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." Through reflecting on my own life in the past 10 years or so, I think of the worst of times and the best of times and the most average of times. And I see a lot of truth in this scripture, that he has good things in store for us if we keep persevering. And I didn't always see it at the time, but kind of looking back on my life, I've seen God's glory in how he's worked in my life, and I've witnessed him fulfilling his promises. His promises to never leave us, to never give up on us, that we can find refuge in him. I think of the promise of abundant life, the promise to transform us and change us forever from what we once were into one of his children. And reflecting on all of these promises the past couple months and then just this past couple weeks as I was preparing for communion, I'm realizing now that all of these promises that God gives us is revealed to us as Jesus died on the cross. I listened to a song this past week, as suggested by a friend. It's called Seasons by Hillsong. And the song essentially is a praise to God for how he fulfills his promises to us. In our worst and trying times, God is still working on his promises. He's just taking his time. And that's not easy for us, but in doing that, there's so much of his glory that is revealed. And I wanted to read the bridge of the song for you guys. I can see the promise, I can see the future. You're the God of seasons, I'm just in the winter. If all I know of harvest is that it's worth my patience, then if you're not done working, God, I'm not done waiting. You can see my promise, even in the winter, because you're the God of greatness, even in a manger. For all I know of seasons is that you take your time. You could have saved us in a second. Instead, you sent a child. It's very easy for us to look at our current struggles and trials and to feel really hopeless and abandoned by God. We can't always see the bigger picture. We're not always in on God's timing. And we can find ourselves very frustrated and discouraged in these times. But thinking about the plan for Jesus' life and death and resurrection, I mean, that just perfectly reveals how good God is, how faithful he is, and how he holds to his promises, even when it's not obvious to us. And Jesus sets the perfect example for us in how we can persevere through these times. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." I think Jesus knew exactly what season was coming his way after he died on the cross. After this horrible and terrible and painful season in his life, he knew the glory that was coming. And it was this joy that he knew was coming, the promise that God had for him and for us, that's what kept him going during this time of adversity. God was fulfilling his greatest promise as Jesus died on the cross. And Jesus understood why God decided to do it this way. Because honestly, God could have granted us mercy and salvation at the snap of his fingers, but he didn't. Instead, he chose to fulfill his promise in a way that revealed his love in the most full and rewarding way. And Jesus knew this, and he willingly took on that punishment for the sake of God's love. And in a moment, we will drink the juice and eat the bread in remembrance of Jesus. And as we do that, I would like for you guys to kind of just reflect on how deep God's love is for you in his plans and how wonderful his sacrifice was. Think of the joy that Jesus had in fulfilling this amazing and great promise for God, for his promise of salvation for each of us, and let us give thanks. And Alanis is going to pray for communion for us.